The crowd asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the gospel, to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. On this Gaudete or Rejoice Sunday, we reflect on the peace and joy of the Lord. Why is this Sunday of Advent is called Gaudete, means rejoice? Because the King, whose name is Merciful Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Might God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace is coming. He is coming to meet each one of us personally. The expectant one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Let us put this basic question. What is human aspiration? Rather, what is every man or woman desire in life? What is our dream? We can say, see, many things about this, but it converges only in one thing: to have a peaceful mind and a joyful heart. This is everyone's aspiration. Everything that we do in our life is to be happy. Yes, because we are created for that. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I give you. a peace which the world cannot give. This is my gift to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. The peace of the Lord is quite different from the peace that the world gives. The peace of the Lord refers to union with God. Union with God. Think about it. We have peace when we are united to God, and turmoil when we are at odds with our God. This is what happens in our lives. We close our peace when we allow sin into our lives, when we choose the material things out of God's will and use it, we lose God. We are separated from God, and our lives becomes chaos. But when we throw sin out, usually through a good confession and a determination to live for the Lord, we feel this overwhelming comfort, this warmth, this presence of God, this peace and joy. That is, you see, all the readings are crying with strong words. Come back the track. Come back to Jesus. Open your heart to the Savior. He is coming. Yes, difficult situations will still crop up in our lives. Hard choices will still have to be made. But united to God, we can make these choices in peace. The one united to God would say, my assailant hurt my body. I am not going to let him destroy my soul. Jesus spoke about this when he said, do not be afraid of him who can destroy the body, but not destroy the soul. Our soul is more important than our physical body. No one can hurt it unless we allow. Yes, if we are in line with Jesus and follow the church's teaching, it is inevitable to be challenged, even persecuted, even put to death for our faith. Many are dying for Jesus. But when this happens, it is good for us. Because the Bible says, blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, when we are really follow Jesus, when we are his real disciples, we will be strange for the world. And this is good sign for us to be for Jesus. Stand for him. So, I'm sure we are so busy these days buying the gifts, which one is better for him, which one is better for her. running from store to store. I think there is nothing wrong with it, but please don't forget the best gift, that is Jesus Christ. Maybe all the gifts, all we buy, after Christmas they will gone away and will remain the same. But this is not the meaning of Christmas. It is about Jesus, this Savior, who wants to come in my heart and change me to his way. But unless I prepared it, he will not impose, he will knock, and if I did not open, if I do not open, will pass. So what to do? Let's personalize the question of the listeners of St. John the Baptist, the crowd. What should we do after attentively listening and see his words? What we should do, so let us listen to the same prophet. John's preaching of the good news has two principal components. First, the invitation to live a godly life. Second, the invitation to believe in Jesus the Messiah. Let us a little see these two pointers. The invitation to live a godly life, what does it mean? This appears to be the emphasis in John's preaching. Various groups of people who heard John preached responded by saying, "What then should we do?" To the crowds, or the masses, his answer was, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." You see, this is most of the time hidden from people. They forget about others and they want to be, to enjoy life in selfish way. Yes, the mystery of Christianity is not in hoarding, but in giving. Look what Jesus, he is the creator of the world. He is the king of kings. But he left all and gave to make us, is she, rich. Yes, this is the mystery of joy. By giving and sharing what you have, by sharing what you are to others, especially for those in need, you experience a wonderful joy. This is a hidden mystery. Yeah, accepting the gospel demands a change in one's personal conduct. One becomes a person who loves to share rather than a person who loves to accumulate. The second one, the invitation to believe in Jesus the Messiah. To accept the gospel means to accept Jesus. However, does not mean simply to strive to be a good person. It means, above all, to be a person of faith, a person who believes in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. The people to whom John preached were beginning to mistake him for the Messiah. If they did so, they would be mistaken in their belief, their zeal and goodwill notwithstanding. It is possible for a believer to be full of goodwill and zeal for the Lord, to be blameless in both personal and professional behavior, yet be in error in his or her belief. An essential part of imparting the good news is to point out possible errors in belief and help the believer to move from an imperfect naive to a more perfect and mature knowledge of the doctrine of Christ. This is what John the Baptizer did. The tendency among us Christians today is to emphasize the belief aspect at the expense of moral behavior. I think this is very important. For John, however, change of behavior came first before change of belief. The synthesis of John's preaching was, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. You see, repent, it is not only going to the confessional and tell your sins and done. Yes, that is good. Repent means the full meaning to change your way of style of life, all your thoughts, your speeches, your actions, your reactions, your relationship, all must be changed. This is what they call metanoia, change of the mind and heart. This is what St. John the Baptist is teaching. For him, repentance, turning away from selfishness to a godly behavior, precedes and accompanies belief. As we prepare to celebrate the coming of God to his people in the birth of Jesus, we will celebrate Christmas after 9 days. Let us call to mind that the basic problem with Christian faith today is that we profess to believe but do not match it with practical behavior. This self-contradiction constitutes a stumbling block for would-be believers who are often attracted by the person and the teaching of Christ, but are turned away by the behavior of those who claim to be his followers. John prepared his people for the coming of Jesus by challenging them to mend their ways and believe his message. We cannot do better than that. The best preparation we can make for the birth of the Lord is to repent and guide our behavior by the selfless teaching of the gospel. This is what is needed today to make our faith perfect, so that we can stand with heads raised high in joy as the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to conclude with the wonderful expressions of Saint Augustine. You know his history. You know what kind of person he was before encounter with Jesus, and how he's completely changed from a worse sinner to a wonderful saint. When he found Jesus, he said, Jesus, where were you? I was looking this. My hunger, my thirst was this joy. I am so sad to know you too late. Yes, you have created our heart for you, and it is restless until it rests in you. So what is our choice these days, 9 days of preparation? Do we want to be changed and experience this wonderful joy of Jesus who has brought for each one of us? Or remain the same, doing the same? Yes, this is, you see, everyone's choice to do. So let's take this 1 week seriously. Let's prepare, let's clean our hearts, and at Christmas, can we say, Jesus, I'm ready, come in my heart. You will see what he will do there. Your heart will, you see, experience this wonderful joy. This wonderful joy, what Jesus prepared for each one of us. God bless you.